Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, this is Molly. It's definitely not Tim recording for Molly because we forgot to do an intro for our episode about whether or not you should be friends with people on Facebook and stuff. Like I said, this is Molly.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
The wonders of technology.
And Nick Glover.
Here, but also not.
And that's because while Tim and I are coming to you live from the basement studios, Nick is coming to you from Deepwood Mott via Skype.
Crazy.
Because he got dicked over with work stuff and is stuck in the house.
Yeah. It's all resolved now.
That's nice. Just in time for you to not be here.
But here we are, right, on two opposite ends of the Twin Cities and yet still able to record a podcast.
That's right. As Tim said, the wonders of technology.
Technology.
And we're actually going to be talking a little bit about technology today.
Segway.
Genius. Segway is another type of technology. But we're not talking about segways today. We're going to talk about Facebook, social media in general, but Facebook specifically. And I guess we can throw Instagram in there if that's your main way of doing social media. But mainly the question that I posed to the group here is, do you owe anyone your Facebook friendship? And the question I'm asking by that is, you know, there are people in the world who, and I'll tell some stories, but there are people in the world who get very upset if you're not Facebook friends with them. And, you know, some people, you know, the classic standard is like, you know, your mom, right? You know, your parents, family in general.
Your mom.
My mom, yes. My mom would be very upset if I was not her Facebook friend. But my mom also doesn't post a whole bunch of racist, hateful shit that I have to see constantly.
Fair enough.
Nor do I, you know, I don't have to unfollow my mom, right? So I guess, like, it's this question. And the thing that made me think of it was Nick and I have a friend, I guess used to be friend, a guy that we've known a long time, but haven't really hung out with in, I don't know, 6-7 years. And he's turned into more of a, like, libertarian right-wing cop apologist bootlicker lately, which is weird. And he, like, on a separate thread where we were talking about ACAB, which, if you don't know, is a common acronym for all cops are bastards, all coppers are bastards. It basically just means, like, cops are complicit regardless.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And so we were talking about that, and I made the statement, like, you know, good cops aren't good cops if they're not actively trying to, like, clean up the force and root out, you know, the bad cops. And he, like, was such a dick about it that I was like, you know what, fuck this. And I unfriended him. And then he got super mad that I unfriended him, messaged Nick, not me, and wanted to know why I unfriended him, and then made a public post about how I unfriended him.
Wow.
And what a baby I was.
Wow.
And how I was super fragile and a snowflake.
Oh, of course, the snowflake. Yeah.
And when I pointed out—
You're the fragile one.
Right? Yeah. And when I pointed out that, like, we hadn't even, he's like, I guess we're not friends. It was like, we haven't even seen each other in 6 years. Like, why do I owe you a Facebook friendship? And that's kind of what had me thinking about this. So that was the inspiration.
Sure.
For this. But, like, you two both remember there, a photographer out at Renfest who, I'm going to say violently was upset when we unfriended him.
He freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Nick, what was it that he deleted you out of photos, right?
Yeah, his response when, again, like, I swore in a response to him. Like, no doubt. I did not swear at him.
Something like, what the fuck, names, man? Like,
yeah, I remember, yeah.
I said something about the fucking Republican Party is actually, I think, what I said.
It was what I like to call a tangential swear.
Yeah.
Yes, you're not swearing at him. You were you're swearing because you swear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And his response was to, because I had unfriended him at this point. This was on someone else's, like a mutual friend's thread. His response was to block me and then post his own post on his page, public, open to the world, saying that he had just been like verbally assaulted and someone said, fuck you, and no one says that to him. And that he's sad that he's going to have to go through and delete all these Facebook photos of a show that he loves, meaning Vilification Tennis.
Right.
An insult comedy show.
Yeah.
Can I just point out? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very dramatic response. And it did seem in part to be because he was unfriended. Mm-hmm. Like his feelings were hurt by that.
He said so later. He was like, they unfriended me. So I guess we're not friends. So what do I care?
Right.
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah. And
again, someone that we didn't know outside of a job.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Go ahead, Nick.
There's an interesting component here that I think is relevant to the topic. And that's that, when Molly and I quit from the Renaissance Festival, we did unfriend like a lot of people that
200 for me, 201.
Work acquaintances at best, right?
Doesn't mean I don't like them or they're bad people.
Nope. It's not a judgment.
Just
but we
up.
Did say to each other that if anyone is upset by this and they message us and say they want to remain in contact, they want to be
like,
Facebook friends.
Why did
friends,
you unfriend me?
We would have been like, oh crap, my bad. Yeah, man, I was just clearing house. Gladly. Mm-hmm. And no one has done that, though now two people have said that, you know, they were disappointed that we were no longer friends, but in a very passive-aggressive way, mm-hmm. or like the complete and total fit. And so it's like, if the friendship was really that important to you, I think it would be worth a direct message.
Sure.
But no one did that, yeah. So it didn't seem like it was worth worrying about on our end.
Yeah, so here's my... we've mentioned this before. I will accept any friend request where I know at least one of the people that's a friend with them,
yep.
and I can verify they're not a porn bot.
Yeah.
That's because I do a bunch of shows. I run a bunch of things. I want people to know about the shit I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I view it as very much a public, almost advertising page for
totally.
Myself. I mean, yeah, I'm sharing bits. I'm sharing myself. I'm not being like, oh, this isn't me. But at the same time, I think it's important to put myself out there as a public figure because of all the shit that I do.
Yeah.
And so I accept any friend request.
Right.
Now, I guarantee you I've had lots of people unfriend me. I don't fucking know who. I've never even looked. I don't care.
Yeah.
Not because I don't like the people that unfriended me. I may very well like the people that unfriended me, but it just isn't that important.
So there's there's like plugins you can put in Facebook that will tell you
sure
how many, who's unfriended you the instant that it happens and all that stuff, or if their account, if they delete their Facebook,
yeah,
it'll tell you like this person's no longer your friend. And granted, that is kind of a shitty way to say it, you know, like Tim Wick is no longer your friend.
Yeah,
can affect some people, but you know, Tim, if like, is there anyone in your life that if you went to their page and you saw that they had unfriended you, it would hurt your feelings?
I suppose. But I mean, mostly it's like family. It's like
right.
my mom, my brother, you know.
Sure.
Heck if – I mean, even if my wife unfriended me, I mean, I would assume it's because we're breaking up or some shit like that. But you know, I mean, I'm just – it's like just the people closest. If you guys yeah. unfriended me, I'd be like, well, yeah. what the hell happened?
Of course.
But again – I don't even notice.
Yeah.
We're
having technical difficulties.
Yeah,
please stand by and we might edit this out or maybe we won't.
Nick's not hearing
Nick
us
dropped,
at the moment.
And so we're going to try to get him back.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. So that was weird.
Yeah,
it could happen again. That's you know, the wonders of technology.
Technology.
So anyway, I guess what all I'm saying is that I know I could turn on something to tell me that somebody dropped. And yeah, there are a couple of people that it would bother me, but
close friends.
It would more surprise me.
Yeah.
It's like if my mom dropped me, I'd be like, what the fuck, mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Nick, how about you? I'm imagining you're probably in pretty much the same boat because I agree with Tim, and I know you and I have talked about this before.
I think anyone that if someone unfriended me and it hurt my feelings in any way, that's because it would be an absolute surprise, like Tim was saying, and then it would be someone that it would have to catch me off guard in a way that, you know, I've had people like from high school or old college friends or whatever unfriend me and have been like, yeah, of course. I mean, like, yeah, that's no surprise.
Sure.
But if it was, and actually I've had current friends do it too, because they've been like deactivating their accounts and they'll go through and unfriend everyone before they deactivate an account.
Right.
And I can't take any of that personally. I don't really, that doesn't affect me. It would have to be a really big surprise.
Yeah. Okay. So then I guess the next question is, if you don't owe anyone your Facebook friendship and, you know, nobody owes you their Facebook friendship, you know, what is the, like, is there any purpose to trying to make Facebook a place of diverse opinions or keeping it your own echo chamber? Hmm. In the sense of, like, you know, if you're going to unfriend people, whether it's because they disagree with you or you don't find them interesting or you just don't really know them very well. I mean, is there some people like Tim, you post publicly a lot.
Yeah.
You get randos commenting on your stuff when you get political in public posts.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not too often.
Is it ever, do you feel like that's a good thing? Like, is that something that you seek out?
Yeah, because I can spank them.
So you're fishing.
Yeah. Yes and no. It's like, sure, if somebody shows up and wants to engage me, mm-hmm, and, you know, and I've posted a jokey, snarky post, I'm going to be jokey and snarky back at them. And if I posted a semi-serious post, I'll be semi-serious back at them. And if they get abusive or what have you, I'll block them because, you know, they weren't friends to begin with.
How much of your profile is public? Unfortunately, Facebook took away one of the greatest things ever, which was a view as, where you could view your own page as is seen by the public. Like, as is seen by someone who has no connection to you.
Yeah, and, my entire profile is public.
Your entire profile. Every picture you've ever posted.
Yeah.
All your about me stuff, all your contact info.
I think I was careful about what contact info I have on there. But
Nick and I are super the opposite.
I know.
Like, we are both on mega lockdown.
And I probably should be.
Yeah.
It's just I've never had any negative experience with it being that way.
Sure.
I have one public Facebook post on my profile, and that's like a thing that got shared a bunch about privilege and how that is D&D can be a good analogy for that. And it has, there was a guy who was a vilification tennis fan who went nuts on me in some thread and then like went to my Facebook profile and spam commented on my only public post like 100 times.
I remember that dude. We both blocked him.
And then he went and found any comments I had made anywhere public.
Right.
And was responding to those too.
It was nuts.
It just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I've never had that experience, which is surprising a little bit given how public I am.
Right. And you're not an asshole.
No, I could be a total dickweed.
I'm a bit more abrasive online.
Are.
I mean,
you are.
I'm not going to pretend that isn't the case. But like with an echo chamber, an echo chamber is just such a misleading or sometimes erroneous phrase because like I don't have an echo chamber. I have a lot of diverse opinions in my Facebook friends. I have friends that prefer Babylon 5 or Deep Space Nine or like, Like, there are all sorts of diverse opinions that I am, and stories and backgrounds and people that I absolutely welcome. If all the echoes in my chamber are 0% Nazis, or racism, or
transphobia,
then gosh, I guess I'm quite satisfied with my echo chamber. But I mean, I'm not hearing the same things parroted back to me. I'm hearing and learning from all my friends and what they have to say. So
I
live in an echo chamber. I don't know.
What I've noticed about it is I still have a few friends that I've stayed friends with who are uber conservative idiots. And I say that with all due respect that they don't deserve. And when they post some stupid ass link to a stupid ass article that's wrong, I just don't say anything.
Right.
Because I'm not interested in the conversation.
Wait, Tim, you, a white man, just don't say anything on a post with which you might have a slight disagreement?
No, it's weird. But they're other white guys, so they don't care.
So weird, because it's really – I've noticed that whenever I make any comments on a post, many men feel the need to come in and let me know they disagree with me.
Well, there is that. But, I mean, the thing is, I know that it's like you sit there and you go, do I want to get into this argument?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to get into this argument. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So it becomes an echo chamber, or people call it an echo chamber. Or, I mean, an example, again, we have a Renaissance group that Nick and Molly are no longer a part of. But at one point, somebody posted something and someone else disagreed with that post. And then what happened was a bunch of people disagreed with that person disagreeing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, everybody's attacking me. It's like, no, you stated an opinion. Other people get to state opposing opinions.
Yeah.
There's no attack here. Nobody's calling you an asshole. They're saying, I don't agree with you. I think this. And that is the challenge of calling of the way Facebook works, of the way social media works, of the way it becomes an echo chamber, is the person who shows up and disagrees with everybody else claims they got shouted down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were the one that put themselves out there to have that argument. Whether I go onto a conservative friend's page and tell them they're being a dork bag and all their conservative friends pile on me, or that conservative friend comes over to my page and all my liberal friends pile on them. They've set themselves up.
Yeah.
To receive that response. They've, in fact, invited it.
It's an interesting thing, too. And so I was telling Nick the other day, I occasionally, for sport, will go on to any public post. Usually the things that come into my feed are from NPR, or if I see someone share a public post about, especially issues of transgender rights, I will tend to go in there and wade into those public comments and just really have a lot of fun responding to people, you know, and telling them how wrong they are. And it's funny because I try not to do it in any way that's like, you're wrong. It's more like, that idea is ridiculous. Like, you know, that this thing you're saying is shitty. Not your shitty. And yet what I've noticed is so many people, and I'm not saying that this is a liberal or a conservative or a Republican or any partisan thing. This is across the board with people who I'm just going to assume are less smart than most of my friends. Cause you know, most of the people we know are very smart, but these are what they'll do is just be like, instantly they'll make attacks on a person's appearance based on their profile picture. They'll go to their page and see anything they can find and try to say that. Like, I've had people be like, nice pink hair, you crazy dumb bitch. And it's like, what?
What?
Or like, oh, you look like, oh, so I suppose that some lady got really upset because she was saying a whole bunch of really awful stuff about how Trump is amazing and how he's my president and I'm so proud of him. And I just like clicked her name, and right away on her page, like her favorite five photos that pop up, one of them is a thing that says, I voted for Snoopy. Yeah. So I went back and I just said, but you voted for Snoopy. Like, that's all I said. And she freaked out and was like, how do you know that, you creeper? And I'm like, it's literally the first thing that I see on your page. And Nick, are you there?
Yeah. Okay. It's what she chose other people to see when they look at her profile.
Yes. And she was so mad. And then I was like trying to explain this to her. And she's like, why do you keep looking at my profile? And then she's like, well, nice pink hair, idiot. And I'm like, and she's like, also, did you vote for kittens? Because my cover photo says kittens for president. and she's like, see, two can play at this game. And it's like, this game, like.
This game, I was just making a joke.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay. And honestly, the main reason I clicked your name is usually when people comment, I love my president, MAGA, make America great, God bless. They're often fake accounts because it's like, especially if it's a picture of a white woman, like next to a Christmas tree, and then you click in and there's nothing else. Right. So I clicked in. I'm like, oh, she's real. Snoopy joke. maybe we've strayed kind of far from the original topic, but I guess just, you know, I think all the time about deleting Facebook. I'm sure, I know Nick and I don't know how much you think about this, dear, and I'm guessing, Tim, you don't.
No, because I use it. It's a tool.
Right. And so the thing is, like, the reason I can't delete Facebook is because I use it for theater. We use it for Vill specifically. It's the only form of communication that we use for vilification tennis as a group. But also, like, I grew up with friends online.
Uh-huh.
I've always... Yeah. Always, 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 the majority of my friends have been online and not people I knew in real life. And so this is how I communicate to people. When people are like, oh, Facebook is making it so we all know what's going on, but we never really know each other. And I'm like, this is where I live, bitch. Like, this is my whole life.
And, you know, I don't want to, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
But this is the way it's always been. It's like, the thing that's bullshit to me is... You know, it used to be that, you know, you'd be friends with people in high school and then you'd never fucking talk to them again.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, at reunions.
Maybe you'd run into them at the mall.
And remember all the jokes in movies about how you could lie what you did and who you were at a reunion?
Sure.
Because no one would know.
No one would know.
That's not a thing you can do anymore. That's not,
everything's online. And so this whole idea that we know more about people that we never expected to see again.
Yeah.
Now than we ever did before.
Yep.
Which I think is honestly a positive.
Yeah.
There are times
it's a
where
net positive.
There are always problems. There are always things that don't work. There are always things that are challenges.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I stay connected with what my brother's doing, and he lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I stay connected with what my mom's doing, even though she lives in Minnesota, but I don't see her every day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's kind of crazy that my mom's like, oh, you didn't like that picture I posted. I'm like, shit, I gotta like all my mom's pictures. But that's minor compared to when mom goes on a trip to Canada and I'm like, sweet, I get to look at all these pictures of mom from Canada.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
I think
in real time, instead of having her show me a slideshow, you know, 2 months later.
Right. And I think that also it's like, slideshows, no one has to sit through those anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you, Facebook.
Right. There's a lot of things that I think people don't realize. Like, I don't know. It may sound weird, but like, I have an ex-boyfriend. We broke up in 10th grade, but like, he has a baby and his baby's fucking adorable. Like, I love seeing pictures of his baby. It looks like baby Noah. Like, it's super cool. It's just shit like that. I would never have known, you know? Yeah. And so
I have friends that like punk rock wanderer friends that sometimes they're living in New Orleans and sometimes they're in Minnesota and sometimes they're in Canada and sometimes they're train hopping.
Right.
And I keep tabs on them and their safety through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like I rely on, unfortunately, like Facebook is how I find out someone I know died.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think, so I guess really in summation, my thoughts, if you guys have other thoughts than this, please chime in. But like my thoughts are, no, you don't owe anyone your Facebook friendship, just like you don't owe anyone your friendship.
Right.
And the difference is really just, I think Facebook needs to start being like regular friendship. It's a two-way communication street and it's kind of a mutual agreement. And if someone doesn't want to be your friend, you know, like we used to just never hear from them again and they would just never call you and they wouldn't take your calls and they'd be gone. And now you still see them and you still know they exist and whatever. So I guess like take small comfort in knowing that the person that you were friends with isn't dead. And like life moves on and that's okay. And at least you know you have some closure where you didn't have it before.
Yeah, I mean, I think this, you know, we didn't really talk about Twitter and Instagram. I have not gotten totally into Instagram and I need to figure that shit out because I like pictures and I like picture stories and, mm-hmm. and that shit. So Twitter is much different in the communication style that it is. Facebook is really that area where we all kind of interact as friends in a different way than we used to. And that is weird. And I get that.
Yeah. Anyone can see your tweets unless you protect them. So,
right.
And then what's the point? Yeah. Like just use Facebook.
Yeah, Twitter is very impersonal to me. I don't have any, I don't post anything on Twitter that's of,
no, me neither.
That's more professional for me. That's more like, haha, look at me, funny guy on the internet.
But yeah, Twitter's a bunch of people trying to be clever.
Yeah. Twitter's where I actually have to watch what I say a lot more because people know what I do, that I work for, you know, like Fantasy Flight, that I make games and stuff. And so, like, you know, I can say whatever the fuck I want on Facebook and it shouldn't matter because it's protected and it's closed off, you know, granted. You know, my mom told me this when I was like, I think 12 years old. The first time I wrote a note to a friend and then it got found by a different friend and it caused a whole fucking thing, right? Mm-hmm. But she's like, anytime you write something down, assume that it's going to get read to everybody out loud.
Yeah.
With no context or explanation. And that was actually pretty prescient advice because that really matters now. Like, even though, yes, all my stuff is locked down, it just takes one person who decides to screw, who has access, who I trust, who screenshots stuff, right?
Sure.
That's a mom who's a lawyer.
Yeah, right.
My generic rule is never write something I'm not willing to have somebody read.
And, yeah.
I mean, if like there's anybody that I'm like, I don't want my mom to read this. Yep. Even if I lock my mom from reading it, if there's a possibility that she could read it, there is always the possibility she could read it. And so I'm not going to put it out there.
I think that, you know, with great connectivity comes great responsibility to your own privacy.
Thwip.
Tim. And you might want to, Tim, maybe go to your profile, Tim, and like take a look at all the things that a person. Now, this is what I told my mom to do recently when someone lightly doxed my mom on Twitter because she's very, very into Twitter. Mm-hmm. And someone lightly doxed my mom. And what I told her to do was go to your own page, like log out of Facebook and then search your own name. And, you know, or whatever, or go to your own page, but it's a little harder when you have your own, you're yourself and you don't have the show as feature, but go through each one of your photos and think to yourself, if someone was trying to do me harm, what ammunition could they get from my page? If someone was like, I'm going to ruin Tim Wick's life. Could they do it with just what they've given you? And that's a good way to look at it. Because people are often like, oh, but that's fine. Like my mom. And then I was like, well, mom, honestly, like, here's a picture you posted of yourself in response to this one dude's, you know, thread about, you know, I'll make fun of anyone, send me a picture of yourself. And she was like, my, you know, daughter and her husband are professional insulters. Do your worst, right? And it's like, that's lighthearted fun, but that's a picture of your face. Like, here's where you mention your dog. Here's where you talk about where you live. Like, here's a tweet where you talk about where you went to college. You know, it's just shit like that. And it's like, someone with nothing but time and enmity can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
But
yeah. True. Time and malice.
Yeah. So, I don't know, guys. It's time for 5 questions. But if you have something that you want to, that you think we didn't mention, or if you've got inner knowledge of, like, what it's like to be on Insta, or if you've got Insta drama, things like that, please, we are old, and we would love to know about your young social media foibles. Please also let us know if there's something we should definitely never do on Instagram, because I also feel like I should probably, I've had an account forever, but I never use it. So.
Yeah.
All right. We have 5 questions, y'all.
5 questions.
Yeah. And they come from, we mentioned last time, brand new pledged up Patreon supporter, Ruby Palmer.
Ruby Palmer. That's great.
Ruby
Thank
says,
you, Ruby.
Hello, you three. Geeks Without God is my favorite of the 45 podcasts I subscribe to.
Boom.
We're number one.
Dang.
Out of 45. And it's the only one I find worthy of supporting on Patreon.
Aww.
Thank you all for the enjoyable content. That's amazing. And like, you know, Ruby, I'm not going to say that, you know, you're wrong to support us. I'm just going to encourage more people to be like you.
I don't listen to 45 podcasts, and I don't think this is my favorite of those. So thanks. That's all amazing. Right.
I don't listen to one podcast, and this isn't even our favorite. My favorite.
I don't listen to any podcasts anymore. All my favorite fiction podcasts started advertising suddenly.
Oh.
Now it's like every podcast has decided they need to make money off it, and I'm just done. I'm not interested. Anyway, Ruby's questions. Are you two ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question number one. Who wrote the lyrics and the music for your theme song?
Well, I suppose I could answer that one.
Yeah, it's really just a one person's question.
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics.
Yep.
And I wrote the music with Jeffrey Brown.
That's right.
And he's been on the show, right? He has been on the show. And he has written several songs with me. He and I have written a lot of music together.
You two have a band called Citizens Band.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. All right. So that was an easy question one. I mean, I guess I could give a different answer. The lyrics to our show were written by Tom Stoppard, and the music was written by a raccoon in an angry box. Not an angry raccoon in a box. The box was angry. It had a face drawn on it.
Pick the answer you like better, Ruby.
Nick, what's your answer to question one?
My answer is, what theme song?
All right.
The theme song is all in your head.
Question two. What is your favorite way for fans to interact with you when in person is not an option?
Ooh, I enjoy Facebook conversations.
Yeah, okay. Because pretty much anyone can Facebook message you.
Yeah, literally anybody.
Yeah.
But I mean, like when we post something and people actually talk on Facebook and we have a little conversation about stuff. I like that.
Yeah, I like, I would say if someone just wants to talk to me, I like emails, but I also really, I also enjoy obviously the witty banter of a Facebook comment thread.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, how do you feel?
I like Facebook a lot, both, especially for the podcast, because we can speak as ourselves, we can speak as the podcast. Like, I like that differentiation. Email is just fine. Email is great. I really don't like Facebook Messenger at all. This is totally my perception and not anyone else's behavior, but Facebook messages sometimes to me feel like an imposition or an intrusion. And I know that's kind of ridiculous, but I'm not a fan of Facebook messages. I don't use it very often. So it's also like not very efficient way to get a hold of me.
The one thing I love about Facebook Messenger is that you can't turn off red receipts. And so if someone has seen your message, you know.
Yeah.
It shows up and you can't hide that. Yeah. Some people like that, some people don't.
That on Facebook, my favorite thing is on the vilification tennis page, if anybody ever snarks at us, then I like answering his vilification tennis
back. Me too.
Super snarky. Usually I just play clueless.
Yeah, yeah.
And wait to see how long it takes before they flounce. So.
All right. It's funny that you mentioned that, Ruby. I actually have an emailed question from a listener sent to us that's in email right now that I haven't been able to mention to you guys yet. So it has something we could talk about sometime.
Okay.
Anyway, question number three from Ruby. Pretending none of the TVs or movies that are related exist, print, digital only, what is your favorite comic series? And if you have the time, why? So assuming it's only print and nothing to do with no adaptations of movies or TV or anything, just the comics, the pure comics themselves, what's your favorite? I can go first, so you have both have more time to think.
Okay.
My favorite would be Sandman. I could reread that over and over. Also, I think it has some very specific emotional appeal for me because I read it at such a young age, and then it really affected young, questioning Molly, who Neil Gaiman was the first person to posit to me, maybe all religions are right and everything that everyone's ever believed exists somewhere. Like, and I thought that was just a cool fucking idea, and I really ran with that for several years. But a very close second, is Transmetropolitan, which is an amazing, it's not post-apocalyptic and I wouldn't say it's near future, but I guess semi-near future.
It's very cyberpunk.
Yeah, cyberpunk, transhumanism, lots of technological advances, and a president who is so much like the one we have now that it feels eerily like it was like a comic written by Cassandra.
Yeah.
You know, for me, like the first comics that I read were the basically like I had a book that was like the first 5 years of Spider-Man, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the introduction of all his major rogues gallery.
So
for me, it's Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and it would be that early run. But, you know, if I could have that plus maybe like the Straczynski run, that would keep me mm-hmm. satisfied for a long time.
Sure.
So,
Nick, it's the question. Yeah.
I know. I knew it was the hardest for you. That's why I thought I should go next.
So, like, my answer is Planetary by Warren Ellis.
Ooh, good choice.
It's like four trade paperbacks or like one omnibus. That isn't even that big. It had huge delays in the publishing. So, like, kind of like Stephen King's Dark Tower, right? People had to mm-hmm. wait on the finale, like, for a long time. But the thing about Planetary is the more comics you read, the better Planetary gets. Because it's actually true. This meta commentary on the history of pulp. And how pulp and monsters turned into comics, and how we went through the golden and silver and age into the modern age of comics. And it kind of stops in, you know, around 2000 when Planetary concludes. It's absolutely brilliant. The art is really good. But it might not be everyone's cup of tea, and I kind of don't care.
That's great.
But it's your choice.
If Wicked and Divine keeps the quality up and that is ending like, God, I think that ends like this week.
No shit.
Or
yeah.
this month, I think.
If
it pulls off a good ending, it might replace Planetary as my favorite. But that could just be because I'm in the middle of it, too. I don't have any perspective on it.
It's hard for me to not. That's another good one. I'm going to just keep coming up with, oh, boy, with that one, too, if I don't move on to question four. Right.
Question four.
Totally.
All right. So question four has three options, and you're going to tell me which option is the one you choose, okay?
Okay.
A, keep the figure in an unopened, pristine package. B, take the figure out. Toss the packaging, pose the figure in a way that makes you happy, or place it somewhere you can enjoy it. C, very carefully remove the figure from the packaging so that you can display it however you want it, but you keep the packaging in a closet somewhere with all of the little ties and other bits still intact.
Well, I'm looking around the basement studio and at all the...
You got a little mix here, but...
It's a little mix, but the real answer is take that fucker out of the package, throw the package away. I don't need that shit in my house.
All right. Nick?
So usually B, but often C. If it's like a statue...
Yeah.
Like a... That comes like packed in styrofoam or something.
That's true.
Like a Cotobukiya or Hot Toys or something like that. Like I'm keeping the package because sometimes all of a sudden like those will go out of print and they'll be worth like thousands of dollars. So
you are also more of a compulsive package keeper because we do have lots of boxes of things. You know,
it's
in the basement.
It's so bad, and I'm better at it now. But there's like 10-year-old boxes in our basement I need to throw away.
Also true.
Yeah,
I pretty much get rid of the boxes as soon as I take the figures out. I'm like, fuck this shit.
I'm also a B, but I will point out that my brother Riley is a C and is making shit tons of money right now because he buys all the really expensive like statue figures and stuff. He buys tons of those. And then now he's like, oh, these are ones I don't really want anymore. But because he's kept everything, he can package them up like new and he's making bank off
them. Wow. Well, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Great. Final question, number five.
This is
a lot like question one, where there's really only one right answer.
Okay.
But if someone has the right answer, that's good. And then we can give other answers. Question five. Where do I have to go to experience this Animaniacs burlesque I've heard you mention? My husband and I have seriously never been more intrigued. We don't know what to picture, and we feel like we have to know. Nick, do you remember the name of the company that does that?
I do.
You do?
So, yep, it's I think they're based out of New York, but they're called Rhinestone Gorilla, and they did one tour
like
of it,
like the gorilla?
Yep, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gorilla, like the animal, not gorilla, like the fighter.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Rhinestone Gorilla.
And I think they just did the one tour of Animaniacs and that was it. But in searching for their name to make sure I had it right, I did, like, the first three search results were YouTube videos of them doing, like, good idea, bad idea, hey! And stuff like that.
Awesome.
So I doubt you'd be able to see it again live. So to answer your question, you'd need to go to the past. Oh. But I think you can find parts of it online, and maybe even Rhinestone Gorilla sells DVDs or something. Ooh, it might awesome. Be worth finding a website or something.
Awesome.
My answer is you have to go to the Warner Brothers studio, and it takes place in the water tower.
That's right. Well, that's where they live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that what you could do is experience it in your mind. just go deep into your mind and just picture what Dot's tits look like. Whatever you're picturing, you're right. Oh, my God.
Anyway. I mean, they're just dots, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. See, like I said, whatever you're picturing, you're right. I was picturing Jack in the Boxes. All right. Ruby says, love you all. Thank you so much, Ruby. Again, Ruby is a Patreon supporter. We love all of our Patreon supporters, but we also love all of our listeners. And you're probably wondering, well, if you already love me, then why should I become a Patreon supporter? Well, you could have listened to this episode early, for one. For two, you could get cool swag, like a GWG. That's what the kids are calling us these days. Like a Geeks That Got sticker or a button. Nick, I know what the kids are saying. Ah.
Okay.
Anyway,
right.
You could also just have the pride that comes with knowing that you're helping us do a thing that we love. And you would be the only people who support us because we don't do ads.
You'd be keeping us ad-free.
Yeah, ad-free this whole time. And like I mentioned before, podcasts are falling left and right. I have given up. Like, I was as you all know, I was a diehard fan of Limetown, and I listened to one episode, season two, eagerly awaited, listened to one episode, and there was an ad placed right in the middle at a denouement point, and I was like, done, fucking done. And never went back because I just, it bums me out. And if you're like me and that bums you out, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
We no ads.
What can we say?
Now, let me just talk to you a little bit about Bombas socks.
Stamps.com.
Stamps. All right. Stamps. Thank you all so much. If you want to send us your five questions, please send them to 5 questions at geeksthoutgod.com. If you are a Patreon supporter, put it in your subject line that you're a Patreon supporter, and you will get to the top of the queue. The queue, if you aren't a Patreon supporter, like, don't get too worried because it's two. There's two people in just the line. Two. So if you would like to get your questions answered, we can do it very quickly. Please send in your questions. That's all for us. We are happy that you listened to us and put up with us through our technical difficulties.
Hooray.
You're a trooper. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 This is also Molly. Bye.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Or I okay. maybe I'm, well, meh.